Good morning, morning. Welcome to Out from the Cube. It is very early Monday morning. Appreciate your time and listening and the support that you've given the podcast. I heard this weekend, or didn't hear it, actually saw it on Twitter. A friend of mine here named Matt in St. Louis, who, boy, I met Matt maybe 8 years ago, and we worked for a short amount of time together at a company here, but became friends and follow each other on all the social media channels. And when we're together at conferences and all that, do get some time where we get to spend and visit with each other. And I'm always fascinated by him because, and I know he listens to the podcast because I'm going to get to the point of why I brought him up. But I'm always super impressed with Matt simply because he's super passionate about certain things in his life, most notably kind of astronomy and jets and space and NASA and things like that. And people that are into those things at the level that he's into them, I'm always super fascinated. I don't have that similar interest or passion for those things. I do find it impressive. I'm really into that to a certain extent in that I watch it when that stuff's on the TV or something major is happening. But the people that know it at his level and that understand kind of the, you know, the science behind what's going on and the space exploration and going to Mars, but really airplanes and things of that nature. I'm always kind of drawn to people that have passions, deep passions, and have a knowledge of those passions at a very deep level, where I don't. And I just find that really interesting, especially when I'm able to have those conversations about what people know and how interested they are. My stepdad actually is super interested and passionate about space and stars and all that sort of stuff, and has these huge, and has spent a fair amount of money on these telescopes that can go deep into space, and has joined groups and goes to seminars and conferences across the United States and spends a fair amount of money to just educate himself, and spends a fair amount of time on YouTube and subscription services online to kind of feed that passion. And I'm not interested in that stuff. It's just not my gig, right? I'm interested, if you've listened to the podcast, in other things, but the people that are really into that, I could actually talk to for hours. And it's not going to necessarily change my interest level or passion. It's going to educate me and give me some knowledge on things. But what fascinates me is really the passion they have. So my buddy Matt here in St. Louis is one of those people. But Matt this past weekend said, and I think I've said this before about somebody else, he said in a Twitter post to me that his new challenge is to listen to my podcast at 2.0 speed, and then somebody responded, try it at a 3.5 speed. I think, now I know Matt a little bit, so I know he's kind of taken a jab at me, but his point is well received in that I probably talk too fast in the podcast. But I get into it, I get passionate about it, and I appreciate the feedback from Matt and from some other people that maybe I speak too fast. So maybe, you know, and some of these podcasts are 45 minutes. Some of them are actually an hour and a half. And I would be interested in the analytics on how long people listen to these. But if I talked too slow, that hour and a half episode, you know, wouldn't wind up being maybe 2 hours and 15 minutes. So we're trying to cram as much in as we can. So there's a few things I wanted to hit on this morning. One, a few things. I appreciate the support of the podcast. In the past 2 weeks, this podcast has really reached a different level in terms of support, feedback, notifications, people reaching out to us, where we would go like, I need to find a guest, and I would be on YouTube asking people to be guests and all that. Like, it's no joke that over the past 2 weeks now, I am plus over 20. 20 people in the past really week have reached out to me, and I've scheduled appointments with that want to be on the podcast, where we were like one or two and trying to figure out times and all that. I now have kind of this backlog of at least 20 people as of this morning that really kind of want to be on the podcast. And guests are really once a week. You know, it's really me on Mondays, Jason Wells, which has really helped the podcast, really helped me, hopefully really helped you, on Wednesdays, which we're now kind of labeling our Why Wednesday. And the why being, you know, why we do things, what our purpose is, and why we're waking up, and why we should be excited, and why we need energy, and why we do what we do. And then really guests on Friday. So we're kind of on this 3-day Monday, Wednesday, Friday kick. So So anyway, I really appreciate the support and what people have done. This episode may be a little shorter as we get kind of get going. One reason it might be shorter is I have a sick kid in my house. So there's nothing better on a Monday morning than a kid standing in your kitchen throwing up literally everywhere. I mean, that I can't think of a better way to start the week than a 9-year-old son throwing up all over the place. And for those that know me, we do that my background in basketball and all that, my children love basketball. And so we actually do some quote unquote training every morning. You know, we go from about 6:30, 6:45 to about 7:15 doing something basketball related, whether that be shooting, dribbling, or some other skill. Because of the weather in St. Louis, we are in the basement of my house where we do some dribbling. And so we were doing our dribbling this morning. My youngest son had a decent morning workout, didn't complain, was getting after it, was handling the basketball, doing all the drills, was going at a good speed. And at the end, he just said, "Dad, I don't feel well." And then we went upstairs and he threw up everywhere. So, and I do not handle that stuff well. I put a towel over the throw up, hoping that this magic towel would somehow pick it up by itself. I'm a single dad. There's nobody else around to help me with any of this sort of stuff. And I was hoping that this towel would just magically take care of everything, which it didn't do. So that towel is now in the trash. I'm not dealing with washing towels or doing any of that sort of stuff. So that is a perfect way to start the day. But I have a sick child on the bed watching the Lego movie, if you happen to hear it in the background. So I hope you had a great weekend. I'm super excited about the Monday because it's amazing. I heard this week, and again, I don't have any sort of template or things that we're going to cover. I do have my planner open. I do have some things highlighted I want to talk about, I don't know who said this. I don't know where I got this from last week. I know where I got it from. I don't have the guy's name written down, but go to Ed. If you're interested in this stuff and you follow me and you really are, listening on YouTube or different things, go to Ed Milet's YouTube channel. And Ed Milet has become my go-to guy, him and Gary V. Go to Ed Milet's YouTube channel. He has an interview with a young kid, and a young kid meaning he might be 28 now or something like that. So this gentleman that was involved in the rap industry. So he was 18 years old. I'm not going to tell his whole story. He spoke for about an hour. I started watching this video and it was an hour long and I'm like, I'm not sure how much I'm going to get out of this. And all of a sudden I'm 40 minutes in and I'm glued to the iPad that's showing this video. And I'm like, this is a crazy story. I couldn't have been more drawn into this guy's story. And I was sitting there going, man, I got to quit watching. There's going to be some other things I'm going to miss out on if I don't, you know, I kind of jump around YouTube channels to kind of get my content early in the morning. But this was Friday morning, you know, at 4:45 in the morning with a hot cup of coffee. And I'm sitting there listening to this going, man, is this guy's story crazy? He was and I'm not going to tell his whole story, although I'll probably say more than I want to, but the guy got involved in the rap industry and started, he was a rapper. He got involved. He got into management. He was 18 years old, kind of went through this thing, signed a big act, got involved with the record labels and kind of knew who the players were and got involved was, the company, the band that he signed was really good and made a whole bunch of money. Then they wanted a bigger management firm. So they fired him. So then he was back in his mom's basement living and just not doing well mentally. But then he got after it again, signed another big band. This guy was out of Atlanta. Then P. Diddy's calling him and P. Diddy wants to meet and he's up in LA and he's with all these other bands. So he goes through this whole thing. All the while, he gets up to about 330 pounds as a 22-year-old who's like 5'8", right? So, you know, not doing well health-wise, right? If that's how big he is at that age and that size. And not to tell his whole story, it really drew me in. This kid's attitude, his work ethic, his mindset. And I ended up talking with really my mom about this gentleman, you know, over the weekend, like it was either Saturday morning or something like that, just talking to her about a mindset. But essentially, this guy made the decision to walk away from the music industry. And this 2 Chainz, I have no idea who 2 Chainz is, but 2 Chainz was represented by this gentleman. And he said, I'm out. I'm not doing this. This guy said he was so scared for the weekend. All he wanted to do was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And he was scared. He was fearful of the weekends because the weekends are all about clubs and going out and drinking and eating and trying to impress girl, like all this sort of stuff, right? Was what the weekends represented to him. And he wanted no part of it. And he was so scared of it that he just wanted to work. And so he essentially made a decision like, I'm out. And what struck me about the conversation with 2 Chainz, who he signed and was representing, this rapper looked at him and said, what are you going to do for money? And this guy, and I don't have his name written down, but he said, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. And so he just went. And you know what he said? He said, I am going to be a Nike athlete. He said the one thing he was drawn to his entire life was sports and athletes. And he always wanted to be an athlete. When he was growing up, when he was 12, 13, 14 years old, he was going to be a baseball player or a basketball or whatever it was, right? Football. He was going to be an athlete. And then at some point he realized that wasn't going to happen. And so now he's reinventing himself like at 28 years old. And he says, hey, I am going to be a Nike athlete. And people laughed at him. Why wouldn't they? 28 years old. Not an athlete, never been an athlete. So to quote unquote, what we kind of look at as an athlete, you know, he's when a Nike athlete is LeBron, Serena Williams, all these other people, right? Michael Jordan, those are the model athletes for Nike. This is not that guy at 5'8", 350 or 325 pounds. And he literally said that I am going to be a Nike athlete. So he quits. And there's small things that people say that strike me, that resonate with me, and that inspire me. And he says, what are you going to do to make money? And he says, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. He didn't say anything negative. He didn't have all these reasons why it wasn't going to work. He just says, I'll figure it out. All right. And for some reason, that simple phrase just sticks with me. Now I am not encouraging people to say to chase after their passions at that level. I encourage us to chase our passions. I'm encouraging me to chase my passions and figure out how to be as involved on a daily basis, hourly basis with the things I'm most passionate about. And I happen to be doing that. So it's good for me. But I encourage all of us to chase. I'm not suggesting that we all are running, you know, to our cubicles in the morning and then we're all going to, you know, give our pink slips today or get out of our current jobs and say, I will figure it out. I'm not suggesting. But he did do that. And he ended up what he did. So here's what he's thinking. I'm going to be a Nike athlete. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know I will figure it out. So this is what he does. He makes a commercial. And I'm actually going to tell a story. If you listen to my podcast a lot, I'm going to tell a story that gave me goosebumps over the weekend. Like really gave me goosebumps. And got me looking around to see if there were cameras in my house. If I was on some sort of show. I was sitting around going, man, this is like this is weird. This is happening. And I'll tell that story in a second as I kind of get it more into his story. But he sits there and says, I'm going to be a Nike athlete. Okay. I'm 25, 27, 28 years old, something like that. And I'm 300 and some pounds and I'm 5'8". So I'm a house and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll figure it out. What he does is he gets $1,500 or has $1,500 and he makes a commercial. He makes a commercial and then puts it on YouTube or does something with it of him training and him struggling training and him big training, like his size. He's a big dude and he's training and it's this great video, and if what I saw on Ed Milet's show, if it happened to be excerpts from that commercial, it's really well done, and it's really powerful and inspiring. No more than 3 days later, Nike calls him after he posts that video. Nike, Beaverton, Oregon, Nike executives call him and said, you have this campus, the Nike campus in Beaverton, Oregon. You have this campus on fire. Everybody is talking about you. We need to get you up here as quickly as possible. You've got to meet with us and visit with us. they wound up including him in what is arguably, I think, Nike's biggest, most impactful, and maybe most talked about commercial ever. This commercial that they released over the past 2 or 3 months with Colin Kaepernick. So he's in that commercial, right? And I don't know the exact phrase of it and the theme of that commercial. I just don't right now. I don't have it written down. I don't remember off the top of my head. So I apologize, right? But he ended up being a part of that. Then he ended up becoming a Nike athlete, right? I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Like, it doesn't mean that he has his own shoe, right? But somehow he's involved now with Nike and he became a Nike athlete. All because he, you know, I guess you can sit there and say he took massive action, had this crystal clear vision. Now, here's a guy that started out at 18 years old and said, I'm going to do this. And I don't care what anybody says. And I might be overweight and I might be small and I may not have connections and I may not have resources. And actually he comes from the line of 2 or 3 generations of vacuum salesmen, door-to-door vacuum salesmen. Now, when I grew up in the 70s, I think you heard more about that. I think. I don't remember specifically ever growing up and having anybody knock on my door selling vacuums or can openers or anything like that. But I remember hearing about that. And maybe that was a 50s, 60s thing. But in the 70s, I don't remember it. But this kid, that was his background, and that's what he grew up doing. And his thing was, you just went in, and if you could get in the house, I got the sale. I could figure things out. I knew how to sell. I knew how to influence. I knew how to persuade. And so he drew on that experience, and figured out, like, he didn't have anything at 18. Then all of a sudden, he's getting phone calls from P. Diddy in New York City at like 22, 23 years old. And P. Diddy's sitting there, you got to meet with me. You got to meet with me. You got to meet with me. Like, I just admire these people that just don't, and I, because I want to be that way. Now to circle back to the thing that gave me kind of goosebumps. His thing with Nike, and I have it written down right here in front of me. I am you. If you have listened to my podcast, and if you were to look at my notes, I have that written down a lot in my notes, a fair amount in my notes. I talked in a podcast a week ago Monday, maybe an exact week ago, where I talked about if I were to ever write a book. I was talking about Jason Wells writing a book. And then I was talking about Jason suggesting that I should write a book and me not having an interest in that at all. But I did say, if I were to write a book, my book would be titled I Am You. And I haven't done anything. I'm not running a business. I'm not a millionaire. I don't have a million followers. I am not dictating any sort of market on anything. Like, I am work for a software company. We write code. We work with teams. We work with executives. We work with business and IT teams and what's called DevOps. And we understand how to build software and how to distribute and publish and produce software. And we understand how to write. That's what we do. I am nobody special. And so that phrase always has been in my mind, like, man, I'm just trying to figure this shit out. I am you. Like, everybody that listens to this, I understand that there's this draw. Like, I listen to Ed Milet because that guy's a millionaire. He's not just a millionaire. He's a multimillionaire. He could be worth $100 million, $200, $300, $500 million. Success leaves blueprints. Success leaves crumbs. The people that have achieved the things that I would like to achieve have left clues. If you follow me on Instagram and I take notes and I take pictures of my notes and I put them on my Instagram page, the things that are impactful. Last week I put down success leaves clues, right? And so I study those people because they tell us what to do. They tell us how to do it. And there's an abundance and there's opportunity for us to achieve those things in life. I am not that guy, but I'm chasing who I want to be at 50. I'm 45. I know exactly who I want to be at 50. I know what I want to be doing at 50. I know who I want to be with me at 50. And I know who I want to impact with me at 50. And I'm chasing that person, right? Jason and I have talked about that. But this gentleman that's doing this, and so I was talking about IMU. Like, I think that we are, if you, and this gentleman was talking about the pyramid, that at the bottom, you know, the bottom two thirds of that pyramid is us, right? The 60, 70, 80% of this world is us. And we're all at the bottom of this pyramid. We are. We're not Ed Milet. We're not sitting there with a property on, you know, Laguna Beach that is overlooking, that's probably worth $10, $20, $25 million. We're not sitting around that we've got a private jet like he has. We're not sitting around that he's got a home in Colorado on a lake with a huge boat. We're not talking about any of that. Like, we're, that's not us, and that's fine. I'm not trying to be him. I'm trying to be the best version of me, which today just involves putting out a podcast, taking care of my clients, building a nice little mobile app and a new technology that I'm learning, and taking care of a sick kid that probably, you know, ate bad milk or bad Honey Nut Cheerios, right? That's what I'm trying to figure out. That's me today. Just trying to be the best I can be today. Because that Laguna Beach house or that jet, that's not me today. Right? And so I am you. So this guy is talking about what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. And he starts talking about, and he quotes it exactly. I have an I am you theory. We resonate. This is him kind of speaking, and obviously not verbatim. I don't have it in front of me. His mindset is the people that we have followed the most, the people that we are most inspired by, the people that we look up to and can follow are the people that were us, right? It's not, you know, it's not that top edge of the pyramid. It is not that top edge of the pyramid always that we're sitting around saying that is the people, that's the what I'm following. So this is what he says. He starts talking, he immediately gives the parallel and the comparison to Jesus, right? Not a spiritual show by any stretch. I believe in all that, but Jesus could have rode in on a big white horse with a big sword, white, you know, big armor horse, and saying, follow me, follow me. He didn't. He was like, I am you. I am you, but follow me. Here's my message. Here's what I'm doing. Here's where we're going. This is how we're going to get there. And he had like 12 people follow. He talks about Oprah, where she just grinded it out and grinded it out, and she was us. Talks about Jordan, Michael Jordan. Jordan, you know, we all know the story if you followed this. Michael Jordan is arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. I don't even know if that's really an argument anymore, right? So he's first or second, right, of all time, basketball player of all time. And if you know the story, or if you don't, he was actually cut in high school, right? He was cut from his varsity, which means he probably played JV or sophomore. I think there's kind of a weird story around that. Just because you get cut as a sophomore doesn't mean you didn't play. You just didn't play varsity. But anyway, he didn't make varsity as a sophomore or junior. And he's the best player ever. He's us. And he talks about the Nike commercial. And I don't know the exact words, but it's something like, I dream that he is me, right? I want to be like Mike. Want to be like Mike, right? Because that's us, right? And that resonates with us. And Nike built a brand around it. Like, you can be this guy. You can be Michael Jordan. And he talks about Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs just rolled around in a black shirt. Hey, and this is, I'm you, man. Let's figure this out together. I'm hiring you. Give me your great ideas. Let's go. Right? And it isn't this, you know, great executive, you know, that was at the top of the spear saying, follow me, follow me. He was, what we say is he was in the weeds in a good way. You can get in the weeds too much with building products or doing certain things where you got to get out of it. But like, here's the phrase. And I don't know where I heard this from. I want to say it was Rick Pitino or something like that years and years ago when I got involved in coaching. You sweat with the players. Do you sweat with the players? Or are you at the top of that pyramid dictating down? Or are you down there in the trenches with your people? Do you sweat with the players? Are you them? Right? So this guy is saying all this, I am you. And I was like looking around going, man, I just gave a podcast on this. Right? So I keep thinking about these things that we've talked about coincidences and all this sort of stuff. I think, you know, it's that mindset of expecting great things to happen, expecting dynamic things to happen, waking up on a Monday and driving in when it's supposed to be like negative 10 degrees in St. Louis this week and being excited about the week, right? I have a sick kid and I'm super, but it's nothing, right? I want to make sure he's taken care of. I want to make sure he's happy. I want to make sure that he gets his schoolwork. I want to make sure that he's provided for, all this sort of stuff, right? And that he's being healed, right? And all that sort of stuff. But it's going to be a great week. I hope you're excited about your week. But here's what this, a few things this guy said, and I had other intentions when I opened my planner this week of what we were going to talk about, but this is kind of what we're rolling with. This guy said this. His mindset is, I'm on a winning streak. I am on a winning streak. So everything that is going on right now. So my mindset is, I'm on a winning streak. Man, I got up this morning. I got up at 4:30. Man, I had coffee that I heated up that was left over. Man, I just reheated it up. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I didn't have a fresh cup of coffee. I had yesterday's coffee from around noon. I just reheated it up. It was awesome. I sat down. I started watching these videos. I watched some videos of Evan Carmichael. I saw some things that I'll get into in a second about the guy on Wednesday, Jason Wells, that he did this weekend and was super excited. I watched some John Maxwell thing. I'm sitting around going, man, what a great way to start today. I'm on a winning streak. Everything is a win. Everything is a win. And so this guy says that's how he looks at his life. As I'm on a winning streak. And if I have the mindset and the mentality and the outlook that I'm on a winning streak, then the world, whatever you think about, your eyes are more open to those winning streaks and more wins are coming. Right? So I know we've talked about this. This is my mindset and mentality, and I try to have it, is I look at it as miracles, however you want to say. I think that there's something great going on with me every day. And I think at a minimum, I am going to be shown, God, whomever, is going to show me at least 3 miracles every day. Every day. And you've got to sit there. And then it's maybe perspective. Right? Gary Vee, at the start of every one of his episodes, he's got, you know, this intro with music and him and some of the phrases that he's passionate about. And that's how he kind of starts all of his podcasts, right, on YouTube. And one of it is, it's perspective. Everything is about your perspective. Like, I could sit there and say, what's one of the miracles about my kid being sick? Is there anything good about that? Well, he gets to stay here. I'm very fortunate that I've got a job that I can kind of work from home on occasion, and I can provide and can sit here and provide for him and take care of him. And that is a miracle and a great thing to, and a great perspective to have. I think it's also a great perspective that my mom lives close, that I can call on her and say, hey, mom, I need help today. Tyler's a little sick and is going to be home all day, and I've got a meeting at 10 and I need to get to it. Can you come? What a great perspective to have and about how positive and how fortunate I am. And if I have that perspective and mindset that I get to go the rest of the day ready for them. I've got a really good meeting that I have today at 10:30. I need to leave by 10 with a gentleman that I met through LinkedIn that wants to be on this podcast, that runs a really good leadership team. Speaking company here in town that wants to meet with me. Wow, man. Isn't it great that I don't have to cancel that? Isn't it great that I get to go meet with him and then hustle back home and be able to make sure my kid's taken care of? Isn't it great that I have a boss, a company, and friends and clients that I'm able to do that with? It's all perspective. It's all how you look at it. So that started. And you know what I'm going to do as I kind of continue to talk here is I want to make sure that you are able to, one, just go to Ed Milet's page. Okay. And I'm going to try to do this real quick while I'm here, because I do want to get this gentleman's name. And here's the title of it. It's just phenomenal. And I got some of this wrong, but his name is Charlie Rocket. Rocket. R-O-C-K-E-T. I'm guessing that's not his last name. I'm guessing that is kind of his persona with probably the rap industry or whatever he's doing. Okay, so the title of this is My Simple Life Hack to Becoming a Nike Athlete, Ed Milet and Charlie Rocket. So I would encourage you to go to YouTube and look up Charlie Rocket, and just, it is 1 hour and 8 minutes long. And I bet you I've watched it all the way through once, and over this weekend watched it a little bit again, and then actually showed it to my mother when we were kind of talking about mindset this weekend. It's just about a mindset. As you roll into your company today and want to do great things and want to have more responsibility, want to provide more to your client, whatever it might be, it is a mindset. And it's not at you. hopefully it's with you, or maybe it's just all specifically at me. A mindset of, I can do it. I'm smart enough. I have the resources. There's nothing that can stop me. Where do I want to be at the end of this quarter? Where do I want to be at the end of this year? Where do I want to be when I'm 50? And then the slow, steady grind to it. The slow, steady grind to just be doing it. Right. And there's a lot in this message about this gentleman. And I'm trying to think of exactly what I was thinking about this weekend, or what I was not necessarily just thinking about, but this idea that people just don't want to be consistent with what they're trying to do. And it's me. It's not necessarily like I am you. Like, I hope we all have these problems, or I think we have these problems. Probably the people that whose responsibilities are the people we're trying to model, or the people that have done this before. We have to understand that maybe the reason that those, I think there's, I'm starting to learn some of these traits, these characteristics that other people have that I need to emulate. And I'm going to tell you right now, here are the two things I think of. Three things off the top of my head. And I'm not suggesting these are the three biggest, but I do believe one thing is that you've just got to be very self-aware of who you are and not care what other people think, right? This podcast, listen, we're on episode somewhere around 70. I enjoy it. It's growing. It's more than doubled over the past week. So wherever we were at, it's now doubled, right? I was so, you know, my best week has now become our best day with this podcast. Man, I was like, man, if we could get that many hits in a week, right? That would be an amazing week. But now we're getting that in a day. And now we've got this backlog of people that want to be on it. And I'm like, this is crazy what's going on here. But I'm into it, right? I'm very self-aware, starting to receive negative feedback, right? Perfect. That means we're doing something, right? Once you start hearing the negativity, that's when you're probably on the right track. Okay? Being very self-aware. Dream big. I post something on my Instagram page last week just about thinking bigger, thinking bigger, thinking bigger. We can do more. I have, with our company, our clients, and what we do at Polaris Solutions here in St. Louis, we have huge dreams. And we aren't ashamed of it. We're not ashamed of it internally. We're not ashamed of it when we have our discussions. We're not ashamed of it individually when we sit around and think about it. I'm not ashamed of it when I think about how I work with my clients, or finding new clients, or being, you know, going out and prospecting, or going out and networking, and going out and networking and going on kind of first level sales type calls, or meeting with potential clients, and not being ashamed of who we are, what we do, and where we're going to be in 5 years. Like, not at all. We're thinking bigger. Like, our company will be known by every kind of enterprise level and every CEO here in town. And when they think of software needs and team training and building software and distributing software and business development and ideas and executive coaching and leadership and thought processes wrapped around those, that Polaris would be the first thing they'd think about and reach out to us and reach out to me and reach out to our CEO. That's okay. It's okay to dream big. What are we going to sit around and say, I hope that the small startup with two people will call us, right? And I'm not just talking about St. Louis, because our company's in Chicago and Denver and opening offices in other places and other cities as well in the next year or two, right? Why not dream big? The other one that the main point of all this was, I think those people do those things. I think they dream big. I think they know who they are, and I think they're consistent. The idea that you're going to sit there, and I forgot who said this, because I want to credit people as much as I can, and it was one of those podcasts I listened to, and it's not unique. It's not like it's earth-shattering or anything like that, but it's this mindset of, I'm going to go to the gym today. That Men's Health magazine that I saw at Deerberg's this weekend when I was checking out, and I saw the 45-year-old guy who's the same age as me, and I saw him with six-pack abs and huge arms and this lady in a bikini wrapped around him, and I was sitting there going, that's who I want to be. So Monday morning, I'm in the gym for 90 minutes, and then when I'm done for 90 minutes, I go look in the mirror, take my shirt off and look in the mirror, and I'm like, well, that sucks. Or maybe I do it Monday, Wednesday, and now it's Friday. So now I'm sitting around going, man, I've put in an hour and a half, 30. I've put in an hour and a half of workouts, right? Or maybe it's even 3 hours. Now it's Friday. I take my shirt off, go look in the mirror, and I'm like, that sucks. And I quit, right? This is a phrase I use with my the kids that I work out here in the St. Louis area for basketball. Luckily, our parents, your parents, these kids, didn't let you quit when it came to learning how to walk. Luckily, the first time you stood up as an infant, you didn't fall down and your parents said, well, that's not going to work. He's not good at that. She's not good at that. And let's just move on and make sure they are really good at crawling. Luckily, when you fell down, they ran over to you. Or the first time that you could learn to stand, they held you and they had their pinkies out. And you grabbed onto their pinkies and they simulated how to walk all over the house. And they just didn't quit that first day, but they did it again and again and again and again and the next day. And it wasn't a week. That might have taken 6 months before you go from hands on two pinkies to hands on one pinky, or to now taking two steps to five steps, to now having the mom at one end and the dad at the other, and the kid walks in between them, and everybody screams and cheers and celebrates the success. We do that to kids. I hope that hits you like it hit me. The biggest thing is the celebration. And I have no idea what that was like when I was, you know, what you walk at a year old. My kids walked at exactly at a year, like at 12 months, my kids were walking. And I remember celebrating the hell out of that and being super excited that they had made those steps and making sure I hugged them and kissed them and told them I loved them and lifting them in the air saying, you did it, and watching that smile and that celebration. But a few things. Shit, we don't do that to ourselves because we quit. Two, mom and dad are coaching, but yet we don't go find the support or the people that can do it to cheer us on. At all. I'll tell you, that's why one reason why I do the CrossFit now. There's a group of 10, 15, 12, 4, 20 people in that room at 5 a.m., two days a week for me now, that are celebrating everybody else's success for that day, to bring you back, to say it does, today doesn't matter. You did it today, knuckles, boom, right? But let's see you tomorrow. Let's do it again tomorrow. Let's do it again tomorrow. Let's get on the website and give thumbs up and celebrate everybody online, as opposed to going to Club Fitness by yourself and looking in the mirror after two workouts, three workouts, and saying, well, this sucks, and nobody's there to cheer you, right? I hope this all resonates with you because it's jacking me up, right? But we do that as kids. The other one is, man, I tell the kids this, man, I'm glad that your parents didn't let you quit when it came to tying your shoes, because I ask them. As 10-year-olds right now, it was predominantly the age that I worked the most with. 5 years ago, how could you tie your shoes in under 15 seconds with a blindfold on? Nope. And have it be perfect and flawless? Nope. Could you do it now? And we actually do it. Sit down. Take your shoes off. Here's a blindfold. Tie your shoes under 15 seconds. Bam. Done. How'd you learn to do that? My parents didn't let me quit. My parents showed me the correct way to do it. It was really ugly the first time we did it. But after 2, 3, 4 weeks, 6 months, it was good. And then once I figured out how to do it really, really well, I repeated it. Even if I did it really, really well and it took me 5 minutes, that was fine. Because 5 minutes became 4 minutes, became 3 minutes, became 2.5, became 1.5, became 45 seconds, became 15 seconds. Over time. So now I look at myself in the mirror after 5 years of working out 3, 4 days a week. And I'm like, wow, look at that transformation. So I hope that was the big thing. So again, I got a little sidetracked, but I'm talking about knowing who you are, setting big dreams. And then what I find these people are doing is just being super consistent. And always thinking about a growth mindset, a growth development of 1% mindset every day. So this Charlie Rocket He said this in this interview. 2 Chainz, I know nothing about 2 Chainz, asks him, what are you going to do? He says, I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a Nike athlete. And you know the first thing I'm going to do to be a Nike athlete? There's a triathlon in 10 months in New Zealand, and I'm going to do it. I it's amazing where you can find inspiration from if you're looking for it. Like, this kid just grabbed me, and you need to listen to the whole episode. This guy is 310 pounds, 5'8" or something, not an athlete, and actually has a brain tumor. And he was like, I don't know, but in 10 months, I'm doing a triathlon, an Ironman in New Zealand. And then they show clips of him getting across the finish line. And he just starts training. 2 hours a day. That's all, I think, is what he said he did. Just a little bit. Just a little bit every day. And I'm going to knock this shit out. Finding a team that will encourage you. Finding people that were encouraged. What if you had people around him that said, you can't do this? Look at you. You're not an athlete. You've been running around chasing clubs, chasing producers, chasing music, drinking, partying, weekends, blowing your weight up. You can't make that change. Maybe he surrounded himself by, I'm with you. I got you. What can I do to help? What can I do to support? I know what this looks like in 10 months, and I'm going to be there to celebrate it with you. I think that's badass. I think those are the people that we need to surround ourselves with, right? It's that, you know, I have a friend who has a kid that plays on our basketball team here, and the kid is phenomenal. Great attitude, everything. You know, and he's a big-time golfer. The dad is, and the kid is, and all his kids are. And I'm sitting around going, you know what? That kid loves golf, and I haven't really had these conversations with him, but you're sitting around going, man, I bet you that kid could win the Masters. And why not? You going to tell a 10-year-old kid that he can't? You going to encourage him that he can? That's the big thing. Why would you say that to a kid? I would sit there to this kid and say, man, you should win the Masters. When you're 18, 22, 24, 26, 28, 36, whatever it is, you should, if that is what you're super passionate about and you happen to be really good at it, you should win the Masters. Because I could see you hugging your dad and mom and on the 18th green and putting that green jacket on. And if that's what you want, you know what you should do? Put a green jacket up in your bedroom and look at it every day, because I think you can do it. Or are you going to tell this guy that wants to run and be a Nike athlete at 310 pounds at 5'8"? You're not going to do that. Or do you believe in him enough, and are you the type of person in your heart enough to say, man, you could do it? And what's that have to do with us? Because we're not going to run across Charlie Rocket. Right? But we all do have the kids in our lives that we should be encouraging. But what a couple things. Who around you has these great big dreams? Who can you support? I'll tell you right now, this really was kind of the point going into this podcast, was I've got my buddy Jason Wells. I think that guy's amazing. I think he is absolutely an amazing person. And if you haven't listened to him in our episodes, you should listen to him. Not for me, but just to get something out of what he's doing, because you're talking and listening to someone that is going to do amazing things. And I'm telling you right now, I am so glad to be witnessing it, because I'm around somebody that is passionate, that is driven, that is knowledgeable, articulate, educated, like all the sort of stuff that he embodies. And the only thing he has to do is take massive action and not let anybody tell him he can't do it. So this weekend, there was a big conference here in St. Louis. I don't know if it was a big conference. There was a conference or a get-together here in St. Louis where Evan Carmichael spoke. $50 tickets, $75 tickets, and I really wanted to go but was unable to, because I'm going to be honest with you, Eric Church was in town, right? Eric, if for those that know me, I'm a big music guy, love music, love country music. And Eric Church is like the top of the list. Eric Church was here on his Double Down tour and gave two shows. So that was kind of priority, right? So Evan Carmichael rolls through. If you don't know who Evan Carmichael is, go to YouTube. He has on his YouTube channel probably like, you know, 1.5 million followers. And he's got these daily motivations from kind of the people we've talked about. But Evan Carmichael was giving a talk. And it's late Friday night after the Eric Church concert, laying around, finally home. And I'm scrolling through Instagram, and there's Jason Wells, my buddy, who has these big dreams. Big dreams. And I'm sitting around going, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch that happen because I know it's going to. And I know he's that good. And I know he's that talented. And I know he wants it that much. And I know he deserves it. And I'm watching this video on Instagram of Jason with Evan Carmichael doing like an interview, podcast, YouTube episode. And I'm like, good for that guy. Do you sit back and genuinely have this great appreciation for people that are knocking things out, even in your field, or are you envious? That's just something that hit me. I'm like, I'm just happy for that guy because I think he's an amazing person. And he had this amazing weekend, and I sent him a text last night, and I'm going to read it actually verbatim. I sent him a text late last night, and all I said was, good weekend, ? Right? And he said, absolutely unbelievable, and can't wait to, and then he said on Instagram that he can't wait to talk to me about it. Right? So what's this have to do with us and our cubes and getting our mindset and all that? Know who you are, set super big dreams, and then be super consistent with it, and then all that. You know, and then find people that you can support and get after it. And one, find those people in your life. I guarantee you that every win that I have with the things I'm passionate about and the things I want to do and how I'm driven and the direction I'm going and how I am with clients or with our company or whatever it might be, that my guy Jason Wells will be sending me messages and supporting me and watching that and helping and witnessing it, right? There's a thing in Cleveland. They don't have it anymore. They took it down. But for many years, LeBron James, all the years that he played in Cleveland, and it had him throwing what LeBron James did every game. He'd go to the scorer's table at the start of the game before they did the jump ball. They would take it, and he would put chalk in his hands, you know, to kind of get the sweat away and to make the ball sticky, whatever it might be, right? And put chalk in his hand. He'd put it in his hand, and then he'd throw it up in the air with both hands, and he'd have this big cloud of chalk or dust or whatever up in the air. So it had this picture of him from behind with 23 and his name, James, written, and throwing his hands up in the air with the chalk up, right? And the crowd in the background. And this is a poster that is the size of a building. And at the top of it, Nike's phrase for LeBron James was witness, or I am a witness, or witnessing, something like that. Witness, I think it said, that we are all witnessing something great. And buckle in and support it and watch it, because you're on year one. But man, when that sucker gets to year 10 and Cleveland wins an NBA championship and that town goes crazy and it's the first championship ever in Cleveland and they've been kind of the losers in every sport for a long time and they finally win an NBA championship, we had all witnessed something great. And it happened. And it happened. And Cleveland did win an NBA championship. And the people that follow it did witness something great. They witnessed the process and they witnessed who they became. It's the same thing with Jason. It's the same thing with Charlie Rocket. Hopefully it's the same thing with me, not, you know, with me personally, that I'm going to enjoy that process, enjoy who I become, enjoy the outcomes, and enjoy the victories. And I just keep coming back. If we were to have artwork for each episode of this podcast, the artwork on this would be a mom or a dad with their hands out, stooped over low, with their pinkies out, with a baby at 11, 12 months old, holding on to those pinkies, walking and supporting and encouraging, and the celebration when they walk from mom to dad, and that celebration that each one of us that have kids have done, saying, you did it, you can do it. I'm glad that we didn't quit on our kids when it came to walking. I'm glad we didn't tell them they couldn't do it, that they're not smart enough, not strong enough. We just said, you got this, you can do it. And we're gonna keep doing it till you get it right. That's what we're gonna do. Same thing with Charlie Rocket, right? Charlie Rocket, old Charlie Rocket, it's the same thing. So listen, I know that's about almost an hour. I'm super excited about the week now. Not that I wasn't earlier. I woke up this morning, and really what I was going to lock in on today, just so you know, was the things come to me in kind of waves all at once, and it's kind of the same theme. And the theme right now, without question, over the past week has been service. Let me just read these real quick, and I'm not going to go long and in depth. John Maxwell. You want to have a happy 2019. You want to do great things in 2019. You want to have an amazing year with amazing outcomes and be surrounded by positiveness and encouragement and love and laughter and all that sort of stuff from the people around you. Here's one thing. There was a list of like five things, but here's one thing with five sub things under this one. Just serve every day. Have a servant mindset, be a servant leader, and just serve somebody every day. And here's what he says. Value people. Understand the value of everybody walking around that you interact with, and that's it starts and ends there. Value people. Think of ways to give value is two. Think of ways to give value. Three, look for ways to give value. So sit there and consciously think about the value that you want to bring people in your life this week. Then look for ways to give that value. And then do those things that give value to people. And the fifth one was just encourage others to provide value. So if you did that, and this was John Maxwell, who used to be a preacher, probably still preaches, but has written a ton of books on leadership and servant leadership and blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. But he was like, every day serve someone. Just picture somebody, right? I'm going to serve my kid today. You know, my mom's coming over to support. That's great. These people in my life, I need to figure out how to serve them better. I need to make sure that I bring value to those people. Either whether if you could think about your team, I've got a team of 10, right? If that were you thinking, think about your team. I've got a team of 10. I got a team of 5. I got a team of 2. I got a team of me, 1. I've got a team of 2. I've got a team of 15. I'm going to value those people. I'm going to make sure that they know that it's Monday and that all 15 of us should be super excited today about what we're doing this week and the outcomes this week and what we're going to accomplish this week, how we're going to do it together. And I'm going to value each one of them, their contribution and their enthusiasm for that product, for that sale, for whatever it is we're doing. And I'm going to think of ways to give them value. Can I do that's different this week? I'm going to look for ways. I'm going to be in meetings and different things, and I'm going to be in different encounters and conversations, and I'm going to look for things they say on how I can help them. And I'm going to act. I'm going to do things of value for them. I'm going to give value. I'm going to do things. And the last one is I'm going to encourage them to do the same thing. What if our team embodied those five things? What if every team you are on had all displayed just those five things, just those? Did everything else okay, but did this stuff at an A+. What if your team did that? What if we really valued everybody? A+. What if we all thought of ways that we could give value to one another, thought of those ways? Off hours, wake up in the morning, lunchtime, drive home from work, drive to work, weekends. What can I do to make my team better? I'm going to think of ways. I'm going to consciously think of ways on a Saturday morning where I'm sitting around having a cup of coffee and I'm thinking about my team, right? You either got a career or a job, right? There are people that immediately unplug Saturday, Sunday, don't love their jobs. They have jobs and they don't love them. It's okay to be sitting around Saturday morning thinking of your clients, your projects, your teammates, your boss, the people underneath you, the other companies that you haven't impacted. It's okay, because then you're sitting around and you sit around and love what you do. And it's okay to receive a message from your boss at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning saying, George, give me a call. George, what do you think of this? George, how can we be better at this? It's okay. I think it's okay to be on vacation. That's my belief because I love my job. I love who I work with. I love my clients. I'm available. And it's not, I'm not like painting a picture of me or us or our company. I'm just saying that it's more than a job for us. We love it. We love what we do. We love how we impact not only our customers and clients and prospects. We love how we impact each other. What do you need? How can I help? What can I do? But what if our teams valued people? What if we were always thinking of ways to give values? What if every day we our eyes were open to ways to look to provide that value? And then what if we always did those things? Then what if we encouraged everybody to do the same thing? What if all that was A+? Shit, you'd have a good team. Okay, I know that's an hour. That is really what was on my mind leading into this morning, and I could have hit on all five of those over 10 minutes and done 50 minutes just on that. And I thought from John Maxwell this morning, I thought that was awesome. But I forgot how impactful the Charlie Rocket thing was. Really go to Ed Milet's page and look at that. Anything we can do, I'm starting to have these amazing conversations with people. And people are reaching out to us and just kind of want to have a conversation about leadership, about teams, about software, about IT, about mobile apps, about DevOps, about, you know, how we can come in and just talk to their teams and give workshops and agile development. And we're going out of town in 2 weeks to go give 3 or 4 days up in Chicago, south of Chicago in Illinois for a company, you know, that just wants to talk about this stuff and wants us to come work with their team. It's phenomenal. Love it. Love it. And I'm going to get off here. My kid just threw up again. Oh, my word. If you watched me catch a mouse a few weeks ago online, that was something. Now, I don't have the video for this today, but my kid is throwing up in the background. Listen, I hope you have a great week. I am expecting and anticipating and know that a great week is coming, and I know that I'm going to have healthy children the week as well. So that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. Have a great week. Reach out to me. Continue to share, subscribe, and do everything you can to support the podcast because it's definitely helping and happening. Have a great week. Appreciate you listening. Out from the Cube.